Who is the rich man that shall be saved? By St. Clement of Alexandria. Translated by the Reverend William Wilson, M.A. Those who bestow laudatory addresses on the rich appear to me to be rightly judged not only flatterers and base, in vehemently pretending that things which are disagreeable give them pleasure, but also godless and treacherous. Godless, because neglecting to praise and glorify God, who alone is perfect and good, of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and for whom are all things. They invest with divine honors men wallowing in an execrable and abominable life, and what is the principal thing? Liable on this account to the judgment of God. And they are treacherous, because although wealth is of itself sufficient to puff up and corrupt the souls of its possessors, and to turn them from the path by which salvation is to be attained, they stupefy them still more by inflating the minds of the rich with the pleasures of extravagant praises, and by making them utterly despise all things except wealth, on account of which they are admired, bringing, as the saying is, fire to fire, pouring pride on pride, and adding conceit to wealth, a heavier burden to that which by nature is a weight, from which something ought rather to be removed than taken away, as being a dangerous and deadly disease. For to him who exalts and magnifies himself, the change and downfall to a low condition succeeds in turn, as the divine word teaches. For it seems to me far kinder, rather than basely to flatter the rich and praise them for what is bad, to aid them in working out their salvation in every possible way, asking this of God, who surely and sweetly bestows such things on his own children, and thus, by the grace of the Savior, healing their souls, enlightening them, and leading them to the attainment of the truth. And whosoever obtains this, and distinguishes himself in good works, shall gain the prize of everlasting life. Now, prayer that runs its course till the last day of life needs a strong and tranquil soul, and the conduct of life needs a good and righteous disposition, reaching out toward all the commandments of the Savior. Perhaps the reason of salvation appearing more difficult to the rich than to poor men is not single, but manifold. For some, merely hearing, and that in an offhand way, the utterance of the Savior that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, despair of themselves as not destined to live, surrender everything to the world, cling to the present life as if it alone was left to them, and so diverge more from the way to the life to come, no longer inquiring either who the Lord and Master calls rich, or how that which is impossible to man becomes possible to God. But others rightly and adequately comprehend this, but attaching slight importance to the works which tend to salvation, do not make the requisite preparation for attaining to the objects of their hope. And I affirm both of these things of the rich who have learned both the Savior's power and his glorious salvation. With those who are ignorant of the truth, I have little concern. Those, then, who are actuated by a love of the truth and love of their brethren, and neither are rudely insolent towards such rich as are called, nor, on the other hand, cringe to them for their own avaricious ends, must first, by the word, relieve them of their groundless despair, and show them, with the requisite explanation of the oracles of the Lord, that the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven is not quite cut off from them, if they obey the commandments. Then admonish them that they entertain a causeless fear, and that the Lord gladly receives them, provided they are willing. And then, in addition, exhibit and teach how and by what deeds and dispositions they shall win the objects of hope, inasmuch as it is neither out of their reach, nor, on the other hand, attained without effort. But as is the case with athletes, to compare things small and perishing with things great and immortal, let the man who is endowed with worldly wealth reckon that this depends on himself. For among those, one man, because he despaired of being able to conquer and gain crowns, did not even give in his name for the contest, while another, whose mind was inspired with this hope, and yet did not submit to the appropriate labors and diet and exercises, remained uncrowned, and was balked in his expectations. So also, let not the man that has been invested with worldly wealth proclaim himself excluded at the outset from the Savior's lists, provided he is a believer, and one who contemplates the greatness of God's philanthropy. Nor let him, on the other hand, expect to grasp the crowns of immortality without struggle or effort, continuing untrained and without contest. But let him go and put himself under the Word as his trainer, and Christ the president of the contest. And for his prescribed food and drink, let him have the New Testament of the Lord. And for exercises, the commandments. And for elegance and ornament, the fair dispositions, love, faith, hope, knowledge of the truth, gentleness, meekness, pity, gravity. So that, when by the last trumpet the signal shall be given for the race and departure hence, as from the stadium of life, he may, with a good conscience, present himself victorious before the judge who confers the rewards, confessedly worthy of the fatherland on high, to which he returns with crowns and the acclamations of angels. May the Savior then grant to us that, having begun the subject from this point, we may contribute to the brethren what is true and suitable and saving. First, touching the hope itself, and second, touching the access to the hope. End of part 1 of Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved?